Hi, I'm Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Kachadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
And what are we going to talk about today, Emily?
Oh, this seems to be our tradition where you ask me what we're going to talk about.
Yep.
So today, we are going to talk about privilege, but not just any kind of privilege.
What kind of privilege?
Wheelchair privilege.
Wheelchairs can't have privilege. What are you talking about?
Oh, but they can, my friend.
Can they?
Sure can.
Tell me more.
Not the wheelchairs, but the person in the wheelchair. You would think that with all of the talk about discrimination against disabled people, that wheelchair and privilege wouldn't really go in the same sentence.
That's exactly what I would think.
But you'd be wrong.
Why?
Let's see. How about we start with our double date yesterday?
Uh-huh.
So Kyle and I went on a double date in New York City yesterday with our respective significant others, and we decided, as one does on a romantic New York City double date, to go to the top of the Empire State Building. And when we got there, the line was
out the door.
I don't even know how to explain it, because that was not out the door. That was...
It was out the door, and then it snaked in and around. It was very long.
It was overwhelming. But we went through a different door and
the accessible entrance.
The accessible entrance. We discovered that we were at the front of one line, only to be led to the front of another line, and another line, and another line. I think all told, we jumped probably over a two-hour wait.
Easily. That would have been, yeah. We would have had maybe a half hour up there. And instead, we had about 2 hours up there.
Yeah, and we got some pretty solid viewing spots, too.
Ones that were made specifically for people with disabilities. And you could say that that's for accessibility reasons, and you'd be right, because the better spots had lower viewing columns so that a person in a wheelchair can peer over them, because obviously they can't stand up. But, you know, we also, you know, they made people move out of the way for us, and we skipped every single line. We got through security much quicker. I mean, every possible perk you can get short of paying for our tickets, we got.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
I thought we were going to get that, to be honest. I really did.
So here's the thing, though. I've been told a lot of times that this seems rather unfair, that I get to cut lines. You know how in the days before Disney World had all their new disability policies, you could just go there, and if you had anything remotely resembling a disability, you could cut right to the front of the line?
Yes, those were the days. And we should talk about that, actually, on one of these episodes.
Yeah, I would say even within this particular episode, because that was wheelchair privilege that was taken away because people not in wheelchairs were abusing the privilege.
But also because people not in wheelchairs would hire people in wheelchairs to pretend to be part of their family, and then they would accept and help them. So it was also partly our fault, which is why they changed it. However, the system that they have now, it's not terrible, but it's not anywhere near as good as it was. What it is now is you sign up and you get your card, and then you put in your name and the rides you want to go on and the times you want to go on them. And then you can skip to the front of the fast pass line, which is like, that's pretty good. But the thing is, I'm sorry, you can get in the fast pass line, which is pretty good. But two things. One, if it's a popular ride, the fast pass line is still very long. And two, you don't know where you're going to be at that specific time. I mean, obviously, you're going to make time to get to that ride, but you might be coming from the other side of the park, you know?
Yeah, but arguably having some quote-unquote wheelchair privilege, or I would even broaden it to disability privilege.
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry, no. I wouldn't. No, I really wouldn't. Why? I would, because I don't get any of it. I don't. I would actually, to your point, though, I would call it visible disability privilege, because sometimes when I bring a walking aid that I completely don't need to concert venues, I get better seats. And the reason
Taylor Swift concert?
No, that's the one that I didn't. But every concert, like in Irving Plaza, they do it. Webster Hall, they do it. I bring a cane to concerts because I know they'll feel bad for me and give me ADA seats that I need anyway. But they won't give them to me unless I look disabled.
So you need some visible proof of disability.
Yeah, which I get. I really do. But that's because that most people fail to acknowledge that invisible disabilities don't really exist. And that's a different episode. But I carry those things because when I carry them more often than not, I get really great perks. Like, my best example was I was seeing my favorite band in Jones Beach in 2012, and I bought tickets, and I've loved this band since I was 10 years old, and I was so happy to finally see them. And I was with my friend with no arms, who I've mentioned maybe twice, and we got out of the car, and my dad was helping my friend into his wheelchair, and some rich guy saw us and just handed us two $500 VIP box seats, which came with free meals, free alcohol, a private bathroom, and the most optimal viewing. And then it started to rain, and we were the only people that were dry. So it was just the greatest.
And the activist side of me wants to say that that is utterly ridiculous.
It is utterly ridiculous. I'll say that.
Because it was out of complete pity.
So?
No, but then I'm going to counter my own activism argument with the fact that I have taken advantage of it far more often than I'd like to admit publicly, and yet I'm going to admit it publicly, because, and this is terrible logic, but I guess the best way I can explain it is that for the amount of things that are completely shut off to me, or that I am shut out of, I will take the perks and the privilege that I get on the rare occasions that I get it. That being said, the more correct thing for me to do, and the thing that I do try to do sometimes, again, I'm admitting that I know I'm sort of in the...
Don't sugarcoat it. Just say it.
No, I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm just qualifying. I should just say, treat me like anyone else. Let me wait in your 2-hour line.
You know, what's funny is that my parents, are those people. I used to walk with visible crutches back before, and we went to Disney World way back before that this new policy was a thing, and we would get offers to the front of the line all the time, and my parents would say no because they wanted their son to be treated like everyone else, and they didn't want special privileges because their son happened to need crutches to walk. And I respect them for that. I really do. It's the same reason why they won't get a handicapped parking, accessible parking, your favorite word, parking. Disabled person parking, placard.
Accessible parking pass?
Yes, those things.
Or sticker?
Yes, because of me, they drive me around sometimes. And, you know, when I'm not around, I take public transit, but that still qualifies you to have one if you drive a person with a disability around enough, and they certainly qualify, but they don't want it because, you know, they're the people that feel like they're taking away from somebody who does need it. And I get that, and I respect that, and it actually kind of almost is a lot of the reason why I have the views of disability that I do. But as a person with a disability who very rarely gets taken as a person with a disability, whenever I'm presented with an advantage, I take that immediately. Like, there's no remorse at all because I'm like, oh man, it's so rare that I even get offered this. I'd be foolish not to take it.
And for me, I get momentarily frustrated because I think, oh, I don't want to be today's good deed or today's object of pity. But on the flip side, if it's going to work to my advantage in a particular situation, then I do take it. And I don't think there's any way to say it that doesn't make us sound like major jerks, but it's the reality of being disabled.
It's not a major jerk. It is slightly hypocritical, but show me a person who isn't. You can't find one. The thing is, you take what you can get. That's basically what it comes down to, you know?
Although sometimes it's just silly. Like, I was dating another wheelchair user a while back, and we went to a baseball game, and we were waiting in line for Shake Shack. And I was really excited about my milkshake, and then someone comes up and says, oh, you know you can get your food faster, just go to the front of the line, so that you don't have to wait with all these other people. And I was excited at first, and we cut to the front of the line, so there was less time between me and my milkshake. But then I thought about it, and I was like, I'm the only one, me and my ex-boyfriend, we were the only ones sitting. We were the only ones who it was literally no effort to wait on that line.
I'm glad you said that, because it's the exact opposite for me. Completely the opposite, because...
You should be the one to cut the line.
Yeah, because... walking is generally not an issue. The only time that I have trouble walking is if I've already done a lot of it. I will probably get tired before any of you, most likely. Having said that, I can walk a fairly decent amount of time and distance before anything happens, also like you. However, standing still or walking very slowly, such as the case of a line, is the quickest way to make me very, very tired. And so if I'm waiting in line for anything, if I don't have a thing to lean on or a person to lean on, or if I didn't bring my cane, then I'm going to have a bad time. Sometimes to the point where by the time I get to the front, I don't even want to do the thing I was standing in line for.
And yet you would have to ask to...
Not only would I have to ask, I would not ask because I have. And I never, ever, ever get told, yeah, sure, you look the part, because I'm not visibly disabled. That's what it is. This is not disability perks. This is not disability privilege. This is visible disability privilege. In fact, arguably, in some cases, people with invisible disabilities need to do things like cut the line more, but we're the ones who don't get to.
I 100% agree. I think about people who are in the autism community who have expressed that waiting in line can often cause some kind of a meltdown, or can be very uncomfortable because they're around too many people, or because waiting for such a lengthy period of time is just very difficult. But autism is not a visible disability, and therefore I feel like, at least from what I've heard, this is purely anecdotal, that policies like those at Disneyland and things like that are not really helpful to autistic people or people who really cannot go through the act of waiting online. Whereas for me, I can just sit there, no skin off my back, whatever. But I also feel like usually it's a ploy to get me out of the way.
It might be. And you know what, though? But to be fair, usually wheelchairs are in the way. Because even if a place is accessible, you take up as much space as four people standing back to back to back to back, like in a square. And
can we measure that?
Yeah, that was a complete guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm close. So even though it is to get you out of the way, it ends up working for everybody, because for them, you're out of the way, and for you, you're already done with the thing. You did it. You're first. But sometimes you have to work around these issues, like going back to Disney World, only because I was there last year. There were some attractions that weren't... you couldn't use your disability card for, which is complete nonsense, because why would you make such a thing that only works for most things? No cast member could explain that to me, but the smarter ones, what they did was when I expressed that I couldn't stand in line, they gave me a chair, let me sit in it, marked my place, and then after the people that were in front of me in line went, they let me go. To me, that's completely fair. That is exactly what should be done. I don't want to cut the line. I just want somewhere to sit. I mean, if cutting the line makes your life easier too, then I'll do it. But, you know, in a perfect world, I don't want to take any advantages. And I think waiting my turn with a chair in the corner is a great way to compromise so that everyone wins fairly.
Yeah, it's more about accommodation than privilege. Honestly, while I enjoy the perks, I would rather the accommodation. And I think back to a lot of things that I've done in larger groups with my family. People are practically jumping up and down to do whatever they can to accommodate us, because not only do I have my wheelchair, but my mom has her wheelchair. And if we're with our extended family, then my uncle uses a mobility device. And when my grandfather was still alive towards the end of his life, he was using a wheelchair. So, I mean, we were just the disability circus. And at that point, people could not wait to get us accommodated.
Yeah. And I have found that when I'm with another disabled person who is more disabled than me, or at least more visibly disabled, I'll give a practical example. Whenever I'm with a friend who uses a wheelchair, it doesn't matter who it is, and we go on a Manhattan bus, I don't have to pay because they don't have to pay. I should still have to pay. In fact, they should still have to pay. But people in wheelchairs can ride the MTA buses for free. Did you know that? You do now.
This is a thing that I didn't know until you told me.
But, well, you actually use one of the new Select Bus services, and one of their goals is to make people with disabilities pay because their machines are wheelchair height.
Well, we're getting all technical now.
But for the most part, yeah, it's a special kind of bus that she just happened to be on. But most buses in New York City, like all but maybe five of them, people in wheelchairs can ride for free. And if you go on behind one and say to them, oh, yeah, I'm with them, I'm their aide, I'm their caretaker, not you're their friend, because friends pay. But if you pretend to be a caretaker for all of 5 seconds of interacting with the bus driver, you ride for free, too. So, naturally, whenever I'm with someone in a wheelchair and we ride the bus, I am everyone's caretaker.
Where is the line, though? This is what I wonder in this conversation. Is there a line where you really just have to say, no, this is actually not right? I'm actually doing something that is technically wrong, even though someone is letting me get away with it.
You're asking me?
I think it's a general question. I mean, I'm asking you because you happen to be my darling co-podcast.
Most people, well, I figured you were also maybe asking rhetorically, but I feel, since I never get the advantage when it happens, I'm all about it. But I know that for a lot of my friends, their line would be if somebody offers them money. The friend that I went to the concert with, the one with no arms, would happily take money because money is money. But for some people, for most people, I would say that that's the line where it's like, okay, I'm not your charity case. Don't hand me money. I don't need it.
Oh my gosh. I would never, ever, ever do that. That would absolutely be my line. But also, I wonder, and I haven't really put myself to the test on this, or I haven't been presented with a situation that has tested me on this, but I wonder what situation, money notwithstanding, would finally be my breaking point where I would just have to say,
oh, was money too far past your line? You want to know where the fuzziness starts?
Yeah, where blurred lines, if you will, because there are privileges like cutting a line, and did it really affect anyone else's night because 4 people, the group that we were in yesterday?
No.
Cut the line.
No.
Right. So there was no real effect on anyone. But there has to be a point where it's just too far gone that I
will let you know when we find it.
Yeah. But then the other thing, and this goes back to our unwanted help episode, what happens if you are offered this special privilege and you say no? I mean, I've had that happen to me before. I can't think of a specific instance at the moment, but I've been offered the opportunity to cut a line or to get where I'm going just a little bit faster. And it turns out that I say no, and then people get really mad at me. How dare you turn down my help?
It's, you know why? It's because when people get angry with you, they're imagining what would they do in your situation? Because, of course, who wouldn't want to cut the line? But what most people don't understand is, or at least in the moment, is that that comes with a disability that they probably don't want. I mean, we often say that disability isn't a bad thing, and it's not. But it's also not something that I personally would want anyone to have either. And I think that when someone gets mad for someone who's disabled not accepting a special bit of privilege, they're extremely short-sighted in the fact that they're just saying that because they would do it without thinking of the consequences of having to live with something for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Because to them, it would turn their world upside down.
This is making me think about the flip side of disability privilege, and I do mean disability in general, because as much as we can focus on things like cutting lines, I would say the other major thing that disabled people get is the opportunity to do really cool things. You know, like the Make-A-Wish Foundation or something.
I wouldn't use that, but yeah. No,
No, okay, so Make-A-Wish.
But to be fair, people. I know, but you know what? I'm going to actually say something about that because I know a bunch of people with my disability who have gotten wishes from Make-A-Wish who don't deserve them. I'm going to say that. They don't deserve them. They're not terminally ill. And that is that is taking away from someone who is, well, because they're a charity.
There's another organization called the Starlight Foundation, and they specifically focus on kids with disabilities. So that was who I got my wish from. But I was 5 years old, or really young, and they sent me to Disney, and I just think that was so lost on me.
You couldn't even enjoy it. You were too young to even appreciate it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was like, oh, this disabled person, they don't have much to live for. Let's grant their wish and make them happy. It's kind of along the same lines as when disabled people get to meet celebrities, or like a celebrity brings a person with Down syndrome to prom. I'm saying this because I just read a story about this the other day. You know, I mean, that's a perk of disability that I feel like no one would pass up if you get the chance to meet your favorite celebrity.
That's right. Yeah.
And And so sometimes it's just plain old cool and gives you bragging rights and you really can't get mad about it.
Plus, I'll go on, sorry.
It's okay. I think my life would be different in a lot of ways if I didn't have these small bits of privilege.
Absolutely. And not for nothing, and this really isn't to sound ungrateful for what I'm about to say, I'm going to put a really large disclaimer and speak very slowly before I say it to make myself absolutely clear that what I'm about to say is being very hyperbolic, but as people with disabilities, we also have our very own special law that makes us a protected group of society, the ADA. Now, every other group...
Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yes. It's a great law, and every person with a disability should be grateful for it, and most of us are. However... that sets us apart. And a lot of marginalized groups here and there have their own set of laws, but I think the ADA is the most refined one. It's also, ironically enough, the most inclusive, which is what it should be, because otherwise you have people who are disabled who don't get included. But
the ADA doesn't say thou shalt let people in wheelchairs cut to the front of the line, you know.
No, but it makes us protected against people who, like, we get to, like, if we decide something is discrimination, we automatically have a case for it.
See, I feel that if the ADA really was effective, we wouldn't need these special little perks and privileges.
I agree. But because it isn't, and because we have them, you could argue, and I would argue, too, that that's compensation for where the ADA falls short, but the fact of the matter is, I don't think it should happen at all, because like you said earlier, you could sit in line all day. There's no reason for you to have to do that, but I can't.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing that I wish would be different is accessible bathrooms. If I can always know that I have access to an accessible bathroom, which is not special privilege.
No. That is an accommodation. That is a big, huge line. A privilege is something extra, and accommodation is something done to make something else possible that everyone does.
Although sometimes I've been let into places where I technically shouldn't be just so I can empty my bladder.
Yeah, me too. But if you're desperate enough looking, they'll let you. I mean, you know, that I don't know how much of that is disability.
No.
Probably a good portion, but...
I'm not talking about if you're desperate. I'm talking about I've been brought backstage during concerts so that I can use the restroom or something. I was at a concert with you.
That's right.
And I'm sitting there getting all excited because I'm using the same toilet that the guy we saw just used. I mean, how sick is that? And then I'm backstage and I saw, and I mean sick like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sick like awesome, because I know that was a silly thought. But then I'm coming out of the bathroom and I see him, and for just a second, I'm thinking, I should really make a beeline for him right now, because what are they going to do?
They're not going to do anything.
Are they going to stop the girl in the wheelchair from going to say hi?
They're not. And they wouldn't have, I bet. But we were good people and didn't do that.
So this is actually hard for me to talk about because...
Yeah, the more I talk about it, the more it's like...
I try to paint myself in as positive a light as possible, and I don't mean that I'm a fake person.
No, no.
I genuinely try to come across as someone who believes in equality and not in special privilege.
But, you know,
I take it where I can get it.
I've expressed this to many people, including my parents, who, as you know, were the people I said earlier who specifically didn't let little me take advantage of anything. And, you know, when I express it to them now, they say something to the effect of, you know, society dealt you a rigged hand, and so when you have an opportunity, you should take it. That's not the exact words that they used, but it's essentially like, okay, you had a disadvantage from the start, so when someone offers you one because of that, don't pass it up. And I don't. But it also, I might if it happened to me every day. Because it never happens to me, or almost never, maybe once or twice a year, and even so, I have to probably be with a more visibly disabled person for it to happen, I never pass it up. But for someone like you, I think it would be a harder decision to make.
Yeah, and I also want to talk about not only the privilege in the sense of meeting celebrities or taking your free wish-granting trip to Disneyland, but privilege in the sense that for me, and I know this is going to be very contentious, my disability has afforded me some career opportunities also.
Mine too.
And I know that that's really not the case for a lot of people, and disability is actually the exact opposite, and that it works against people, and that employers can still be very discriminatory. But in my case, probably because of my chosen field, because I work in a field that's very much linked to the world of disability, it's only worked to my advantage.
Yeah, I would say that as well. I mean, most jobs, well, all everything that I've done strictly professionally has had to do with cerebral palsy. And like I said in the previous episode, that still could have been the case had I not had it. But having it gives you a fairly decent leg up when working with it or for an organization that supports it, because, you know, they get street cred for having an employee with the thing that you're trying to fix, or at least deal with, whatever your case may be. And you become this vessel of knowledge for those people that they use to better themselves. And it's a very nice symbiotic relationship for the times that it's afforded me well. And I can't pretend that wasn't because I'm disabled, but that, like Emily said, that that's, you know, she and I are sort of like unicorns, not really real in that we're outliers is what I mean to say. Usually it works so hard against you that it's very hard to even get your foot in the door, so to speak, but we've been lucky.
Although there is a greater push for affirmative action, especially, you know, in the federal government, the law now requires that your workforce needs to have at least 7% of people who identify as disabled.
I don't agree with that at all. One, because if all it takes is to identify as disabled, then anyone can say they're disabled. That's number one.
I really don't think that would happen.
Neither do I. Neither do I. I think people are mostly good, but that's just, you know, a possibility. Number two is I don't want to be treated special because of my disability. If you're just using me to fill a quota, I mean, yes, it works for both of us, but you're not, you didn't hire me because I'm the best at the job. You just gave my job to me over someone else who might be better qualified because I'm physically disabled. That's not fair.
Well, so a lot of the work that I do is specifically around this particular issue, where not only are you looking for increasing the diversity of your workforce, but you're also looking to find actually qualified candidates. So a disabled qualified person, not just a disabled person.
No, I understand that. I understand that. That's fine, I guess. But what I'm saying is, take the disability out of the pool of qualified people. If you give a person a job and they're qualified and also disabled over a person who's more qualified and not disabled, that's not fair to me. It just isn't. I understand that the whole world's working against us, especially in terms of employment, and I still will say that's not fair. In fact, I would say that's a band-aid on a much bigger problem, one that works and one that I'm not going to ever fight against. But if you ever ask me what I really think about it, and that's why I'm saying it, I think it's a step in the right direction, but I think it's in a direction that is only a temporary fix to a much bigger problem.
Perks and privileges tend to be band-aids in general, depending on how you're defining privilege. Because
again, no, absolutely. I'm
not talking about innate privilege in the way that there's white privilege or something like that, or male privilege. Talking about privilege to be synonymous with perks in this particular sense.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we can argue the semantics of that word all day. You know, we just want it to be edgy in the title, to be honest with you. but it's, you know, I guess one of the things that you want to remember is, you know, there's a reason that stuff like that happens. And sometimes the reason is because every other avenue generally doesn't work. So even though I will take every advantage given to me, and even though Emily will have to make a choice every time she's presented with one, the reason that it happens is generally because the way things should happen don't for people like us. And so that's why you might think, oh, you know, you're cutting the line at Disney World. I wish I were you, but we're only doing that because somewhere someone thinks we have to. I have to more than Emily, but it's because the larger issue is that the world isn't accessible. The smaller issue right now is that I'm in the back of the line at Disney World, and it would be advantageous for me to get to the front. Is the best way to fix that one thing to let me cut the line? Yes, But is that going to make Disney World as a whole more accessible? No.
So then, are these really social advantages
in yes.
terms of social disadvantages?
Yes.
Or is it still a disadvantage because it's not solving the larger issue?
Nothing. No, it still is because I don't get to cut the line. You're not solving anything for me. I don't get any of the perks. It absolutely is. If I were in a wheelchair, I would. Here's another one. I don't get to buy a disability ticket on public transit unless I whip out an identification card that has my scarlet letter of disabled on it.
Yeah, nobody questions me. In fact,
here's
another privilege. Hold on. I need to say this because this is so relevant.
Go on.
There are so many times where I have not had to pay for a train ride. I have my ticket out. The conductor will look at the ticket and keep going. They will punch the ticket.
That, you know, you could argue to me all day that, you know, we pay less, too. And you could say all day that that's because people with disabilities are generally less employed and, you know, sure, but we're talking fairness here, aren't we? Why do we pay less? I don't dislike it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's cool to pay less for something, but we shouldn't have to, or everyone should have to pay less. I prefer the second one, but, you know.
Well, then you're sort of getting into more of a economic, political climate discussion rather than just one of,
No, well, that's just what pertains to, well, yeah, but so what? That's an advantage that it actually pays to be disabled.
Yeah, you're
literally.
No.
Well, okay, you're right. It doesn't.
It's a mandate to the larger issue of most disabled people.
Yeah, but do you think that if 100% of people with disabilities were employed, that would go away? I don't. I really don't.
I do.
You do?
I think
I hope you're right.
I would hope it would.
Yeah, no, me too. I actually agree with you, but I don't think it will.
I just don't care about things like a train ticket price. What I care about is raising the level of disability employment for me.
I agree with that too. But that particular thing is something that does affect me fairly every day.
Yeah. It's nice when I don't have to pay for a train ride. And sometimes I'm like, oh, yes, this is saving me so much money. But in the long run, all it's doing is making me the conductor's good deed for the day while not solving the larger economic crisis that a lot of disabled people experience.
No, but in its own way, I wouldn't say one ticket's not going to solve anything. A million tickets won't solve anything. But it's giving relief to the bigger issue. And if that's all something as big as the MTA can do, short of hiring a million disabled people just because to better the issue, then that's what they have to do. And I'll accept that. But if we're talking about strictly equality or justice or equity is the new one where everyone, you know, is on the same ground, then such advantages wouldn't exist, no matter how big or small and no matter how band-aid or not. And that's why it's sort of this weird thing, because all these advantages are very real, but most of them are cover-ups to things that are more important but less affecting to everyday life. So that's why earlier the subject of a blurred line comes up, because how much is too much and when is enough, and, you know.
And when should the larger issue be fixed so that we can stop these little bandages?
Right.
Or not so little as the case may be. I mean, a discounted train fare can possibly be make or break for someone who needs to choose between taking the train to work and buying their lunch.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, these little things, there's a ton of those, but it's...
When we're talking about privilege, we need to acknowledge ours, because we are talking about...
Oh, we are white and, like, fairly upper middle class, and we have internet, and we live in the United States, in New York City. Well, you don't live in New York City, but you live in Long Island. That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Like,
the list is really...
I mean, come on.
The privileges, but the thing
is... I'd be checking boxes all day, man.
We are hyper aware of our privilege constantly, because we also see the ways in which we do not have privilege.
Right.
We're grateful for what we do have in a way that I think a lot of other people maybe aren't.
Yeah. And it could just be because they don't see it, too. I don't want to make anyone sound completely ungrateful, unless you are, in which case you're kind of a jerk, but, you know.
It's such a tough subject, because you want to take your little victories where you can get them, but you also really need to address the big victories that the disability community hopes to have.
Right. My question, though, and I think I know the answer for you, but this is sort of a, you know, rhetorical big question, is are you willing to give every single one of those up if it meant a fully accessible, fully equitable, like equal in both, in whatever definition you use, world? I would. I think you would, too. Maybe I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you won't. But I don't think a lot of people with disabilities would. I think that's the difference.
So not giving up who I am or my disability, but giving up some of the things that come with it?
No. I mean, say the world is perfectly accessible. Every bathroom stall, every job opportunity, everything. Make your own unique world and you're still this you and nothing else is different except that those advantages still exist. Would you be willing to give them up? I would.
I absolutely would.
But I don't know if I don't know if many people would. I know I would.
I hope other people will share.
I agree. Well, I hope that most people would, because if you won't, then I think you're kind of part of the problem a little bit. Just a bit.
Yeah. I would be thrilled if every bathroom was accessible, if everyone paid the same price for a train ticket, because unemployment wasn't such a rampant issue among the disability community. I would be thrilled to see people actually check their privilege.
Like with a pencil and a checkbox and everything. I actually do that once a week, just in case I missed any. Not really.
Literal checking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one needs to get to the front of the line at Disney World or the Empire State Building or wherever. You just don't.
It's pretty cool.
It's cool. It is cool. But I'd give that up in a heartbeat if it meant even for a day.
I wouldn't give it up forever for a day. Are you kidding me? That's unfair. That is not what I would do.
I mean, too bleeding heart.
Maybe that's true for you, but that's absolutely not true for me. If I can make the world accessible for a day, that'd be wonderful. But if it just meant that it would go back to the exact same way and all the advantages were gone forever, no. That is unfair.
Ease that would be, though.
Well, that's right up there with, would you live without your disability for a day? I would rather live without my disability forever, because for a day, I might realize that having one really sucked and it would be great, you know,
Conversely, you might realize that it's actually really weird to be someone that you never were to begin with.
No, I said, well, that's where we differed last time. I'd still be me. Assuming that everything about you besides,
physically.
Oh, then yeah, totally. Yeah.
I would actually have a panic attack if I could.
Oh, I probably would too.
Get out of bed one day.
Yeah, if I could like start running tomorrow, it would be like Tobey Maguire at the beginning of the first Spider-Man. Just something would be off for some reason.
I just wouldn't know what to do with myself.
I would run forever. I would run till I was exhausted. Not that I ever wanted to, but I just feel like if I had the, like, I would feel compelled to, like the force of God would compel me to run or something. But that's another thing, you know, that's a topic that comes up every once in a while, is the subject of Cure, which we're probably going to talk about in a later episode, we always say we will. But
consider that a preview for a later episode, but just to make sure that we wrap it up and tie it with a bow for wheelchair perks or privilege or whatever word you fancy.
As long as it starts with the letter P, basically, we're good. Basically.
Yeah, this episode was brought to you by the letter P.
And the number 7. My final takeaways would be they're pretty cool, especially because they don't often happen to me. But a lot of them are unnecessary but appreciated band-aids to much bigger problems that we wish were solved before or better or at all, even.
And my takeaway is that if anybody wants to hook me up with meeting Ryan Reynolds because I'm in a wheelchair and you feel really bad for me,
I would shoot myself in the spine to meet Ryan Reynolds. just throwing that out there. Not really.
If any of you listening have the hookup, that'd be really cool and you should feel really bad for me. Otherwise, drop this pity nonsense immediately and stop giving me your special privileges. Although, I don't
really unless it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Or cutting to the front of the line at the Empire State Building.
And to be quite frank, you know, both Emily and I appreciate a free meal once in a while, but, you know, don't lay it on too thick, because then you're feeling bad for us, and we wouldn't want that.
Hold on. Free meal with Ryan Reynolds.
That's too much.
No, I would pay for that meal.
But come on. I mean, he should pick up the tab at least. You would pay to have access to that meal, surely, but, you know, then when you order everything, he's got to pick up the tab. I mean, he's Deadpool.
So, actual takeaway from this episode is I love you, Ryan Reynolds, so much.
Yeah, so do I. Basically, that's it. Anyway, stay tuned for the next episode of The Accessible Style where we gush about Ryan Reynolds.
But actually, we're glad that you joined us for another conversation about a pretty tough topic related to disability.
Yeah, feel free to let us know what you think in the comments and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and do all the stuff that I'm not shameful enough to say, but Emily might be. So.
Oh, no, I was about to do the shameful
thing. Oh, really? But yeah, thank you guys for listening. And if you're still here at the end, we really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap on episode 5 of The Accessible Stall. Thank you for listening. I'm Emily.
I'm Kyle.
Bye.
Bye.